Welcome to the final session, and how appropriate is it that the title of this last session is America Still an Exceptional Nation? That requires us to understand what is exceptional and whether it ever was an exceptional nation, among other aspects. We have three panelists today. David Bob, who's a natural-born American, but we won't hold that against him. He's probably too young to understand a lot of these battles, but I'm sure that his credentials are such that he's up to the task. For if you see his resume, you'll notice the extent to which he has been associated with a number of groups who consider themselves to be exceptional and American. He teaches at Hillsdale. The second person is also a natural born, but to paraphrase Wilmore Kendall, I think he has Americanism in his hips. He's from Oklahoma, just like Kendall is, and therefore you've got to be, in some sense, at the heartland of America. And he's wrestled with these issues of whether America is a creed, whether it's a culture. What is the essence, what is the exceptional character of the American project? And finally, there's a person, there are only really two people, I think, who properly understand America, and Peter is one of them. And he is a naturalized American. And to his credit, he fled with his family from Hungary and has a deep appreciation and love for America and its exceptional quality. And he is connected with the Ashbrook Center, which does a pioneer job with regard to, along with Roger and others who are interested in the whole idea of America and civic education and constitutional literacy. Each of them are going to speak for about 15 minutes, and then we'll open it up to the audience. And we have to be out of here at 4:20 in order to clear the room and to be ready for the National Constitutional Center and the activities for the evening. So there'll be half an hour for questions. I thought I would start it off with a couple of issues that I hope we will address or reflect on over the next 75 minutes or so. And my introductory remarks and questions come from reflections on a piece written in 1996 called American Exceptionalism by Seymour Martin Lipset. But that's not its full title. Its full title is American Exceptionalism, A Double-Edged Sword. And he thus leaves us with more than a paradox. He leaves us on the one hand, the exceptionalism is a good thing. On the other hand, exceptionalism isn't so good. He begins with the remark that, born out of revolution, United States is a country organized around an ideology, which includes a set of dogmas about the nature of a good society. Well, that immediately raises the question, what do we do with the colonial past? And I can recall being invited at the University of Warwick in Britain to comment on a portion of the course in American studies where America is usually treated better than in political science departments or economics departments in Britain. I was asked to comment on this quotient, this segment of the American studies course, which they included as North America, Central America, and South America, lest we get too jingoistic about American studies. But I was asked to comment on the section dealing with colonial America, and it was interesting to see how colonial America was portrayed. And in effect, it was witchcraft, Salem witch trials. And the theme was, in a sense, witch hunting. At the beginning leads to witch hunting in the end, and the And there's this long tradition. So if you want to understand America, you have to understand witch hunting. And that's the, and it all started back in the colonial past. The idea of contracts or constitutionalism or deliberative democracy or documents, Mayflower compacts, Jamestown, those were not the origins. It was Salem. But so one question we might want to look at is, where does the colonial past fit in to the idea of America exceptionalism or America continued? Most countries have a way of fleeing from the colonial past. At least most countries that are decolonized in the 20th century seem to go in that direction. Lipset continues, Americanism, as different people have pointed out, is an ism or ideology in the same way that communism or fascism or liberalism are isms. Well, I mean, this is called American exceptionalism rather than exceptional Americanism. But we might want to think through that. To what extent is American exceptionalism an ism of the same nature as communism, fascism, or liberalism? How about liberal Americanism? He continues, as G.K. Chesterton put it, quote, America is the only nation in the world that is founded on a creed. That creed is set forth with dogmatic and even theological lucidity in the Declaration of Independence, unquote. But one of the questions I think we need to deal with is, how do we read the Declaration of Independence? Because there are a number of ways to read that. Some point in the direction of an exceptional America or an experiment or a novel or a new world, and others point to some part of a long tradition of restoration. He continues again, as noted in the introduction, the nation's ideology can be described in five words: liberty, egalitarianism, individualism, populism, and laissez-faire. Would we agree that those are the five elements of the, even if we were to disagree, that's an ism, is that the core? Is that, if we were to remove one, would we still be exceptional? And are those the five? Let me repeat the five: liberty, egalitarianism, individualism, populism, and laissez-faire. Three of them are isms. What about a democratic republic? What about the idea of the idea of federalism? Where do federalism and the institutional framework fit in to the understanding of what it means to have created this American experiment? The revolutionary ideology, he concludes, which became the American creed, is liberalism in its 18th and 19th century meanings, as distinct from conservative Toryism, statist communism, etc. Well, to the extent that he is arguing that American exceptionalism is born or bred in a 17th and 18th century understanding, does that almost doom American exceptionalism to an end? That is, in terms of the title of this panel, is there still something called American exceptionalism if we've moved into the 21st century, if it's based simply or solely on an idea? He then puts, wraps it together and says, other countries' senses of themselves are derived from a common history. So he seems to suggest that there's this choice that you have. It's creed or culture. And I'm wondering how we want to deal with that issue of creed and culture. Now, let me conclude my remarks by suggesting that we are perhaps the double-edged sword notion. Let me introduce that double-edged sword. And it's that I think we're experiencing a considerable amount of negative American exceptionalism these days, although it has been around for quite some time. And the negative American exceptionalism, which is part of his double-edged sword concept, is the notion of American exceptionalism as a double-edged sword became widely applied in the context of efforts to account for the weakness of working-class radicalism in the United States, as America was the only country in the 1930s, 1940s, not to have a radical working-class movement. It seems today that that kind of negative exceptionalism, and it ought to have had a radical working-class movement, it seems to me is Lipset's point, that this is not something to be proud of, that we didn't have one. that Europe does have one. We should be more like Europe or some other parts of the rest of the world. So my point is that the double-edged sword for Lipset seems to be the presence of a negative or an embarrassing American exceptionalism. And as in the phrase, America is the only industrial country not to have a universal healthcare system, or not be like Europe. Now, I said this has been around for quite some time, because in the 11th Federalist, Alexander Hamilton says that the European view of America is that in America, the dogs, not even the dogs bark. And this is this cultural phenomenon that Europe has. So with those introductory remarks about American exceptionalism based on Lipset's 5 points and the idea of a creed and a culture, and the negative exceptionalism, is it still here? Let me turn to the panel.